Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Genesis 37, verse 2. Here we go. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers. Genesis 37, 2. Let me start over. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel, also known as Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. In fact, he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said, and listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. I got a message that's stirring on the inside of me today. And we're starting this collection called God Dream. And I felt like week one, as we look at Genesis 37, I simply titled the message, this is the title, There's More to Know. There's more to know. I believe that over the next 30 minutes or so, God's going to speak right to where you are, and you're leaving this place different. Amen? Come on, pray with me. God, we believe right now, Lord, that you're doing something in our church. God, we believe that the best is in front of us. God, we believe that 2018 is a breakout year for VU Church, that God, you are going to do incredible, wonderful, amazing, astounding things. So God, we prepare ourselves right now today, Lord. We want a God dream. We want to live for something more than ourselves. Speak to us now. We love you. We praise you. And if you believe it, come on, all of God's people said. Amen. Come on, all of God's people said. Amen. Come on, 1 p.m., make some noise. When I was 17 years of age, I had a pretty profound moment take place in my life. 17 years of age, I was rebelling. I was running from God. I knew God, but I was actively running from God. And I took a trip with my dad to Adelaide, Australia, where he was preaching at a conference. My dad's a pastor. And at the time, I was sitting there just 17 years of age, and I had no idea what was about to happen. But sitting there on the second row, I don't know who was preaching. I don't know what they were talking about. But I'm telling you what, on the second row of that auditorium, I had an encounter with God. And something shifted that day. I heard God speak to me clearly. He said, Rich, how long are you going to run from your calling? Then he began to show me and he began to give me visions and began to speak to me and started depicting to me what my life was going to look like, that I was going to be a preacher, that I was going to lead people. It happened many, many years ago when I was 17 years of age. But what's crazy is year after year, that God dream continues to unfold. See, I think we need more dreamers in 2018. I think some of you in this place, you need to get a dream that's bigger than you. You need to get something that's out in front of you. You see, I believe God has a dream for every one of us. Why does he give us a dream? God gives us a dream of what could be so that we can endure through the nightmare of what is. Some of us in this place, we keep giving up and we keep quitting because we're not actually focused on the dream that God has spoken to us. I'm not advocating today that God has a plan to make everyone live a life of prominence. What I am declaring is that I believe that God has called you to live a life of significance. And the way that you step into a significant life is the moment that you surrender yourself and you decide, I'm going to open up my ears to what God has to say to me. Come on, anybody out there know what I'm talking about? I know I'm not an accident. I know I have a purpose. I know I was put on this planet to make a difference. I'm going to leave this place better than how I found it. I got a God dream. At some point, you got to come to yourself and you got to say, what am I doing on this thing called earth? Am I just here for me, or does God have something bigger in store for me? God, I want a dream so big that if you don't show up, it'll never happen. I want a dream so big that it takes supernatural faith to see it come to pass. I want to believe in the impossible. See, until you surrender yourself over to God, until you submit yourself over to God, you'll never know why you were designed. You'll never know why you are here. That's what I love about this season that we're in as a church, 21 days of prayer and fasting. We do this in January. We're going to do it again in August. And maybe you're just getting, you're like, oh, you guys are already 7 days in. I missed out. You haven't missed out on anything. Today is your day to jump on board. And the whole point of prayer and fasting is that we're pausing and we're stopping. And we're saying, you know what? I'm fighting to get in God's presence. I'm fighting to turn down the chaos and the noise of this world. And I want to increase the decibel of heaven. I got to hear from God. I got to believe he's got something more in store for me. Come on, 1 p.m. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Make some noise. I'm going to preach to your 2018 here. Some of you, like, I don't know, like, you should fight to get to the prayer meeting this Wednesday. I think that we should run out of room before the music even begins this Wednesday. Why? Because I think people ought to say, you know what? I want to live for something more than me, and the only way I'm going to discover it is if I get in God's presence. Some of you, you need to open up your eyes and look around what God is doing in our midst. What a privilege we get to be a part of this revival called VU Church. Why would you not go to the growth track? Why would you not participate? I want a God dream. I want a God dream. Many times we get very excited about the potential of the God dream, yet we underestimate the price of the God dream. Over the next 5 weeks, what I want to help everyone in this room begin to understand is that there is a price to be paid for the potential that God has placed inside of you to be unlocked. That God has put heavenly DNA inside of you. That God has put supernatural codes on the inside of you. Yet there's a price that you have to pay. See, the truth of the matter is that a dream that hasn't been tested is a dream that can't be trusted. And the very first test that every God dream has to go through is the test of rejection. See, I want to preach today from this thought. There's more to know. Some of you quit because you got to know. Some of you stopped because you felt some resistance. Some of you backed down because you found a barrier, because there was a roadblock. But what if I told you that the no is a part of the dream? That your dream can't develop until you faced no, until you fought back against no, until you decided, I'm not going to quit when I face rejection. I'm going to walk through until I step into my destiny. Come on, I can't hear anybody today at 1 p.m. Did anybody come into church today to encounter God? This year's doesn't look like last year. I'm not repeating last year. You got to decide that right now today. Some of you, if you want to play church, this is not the church to do that. But if you're saying, I want to set my life up and I want to step into all that God has for me, well, then you lean into what he's saying. And you say, this year, it's not going to look like last year. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise in this place. It's a God dream. I love the life of Joseph, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Because Joseph, he shows us that he had this big, bold dream given to him by God, a significant dream, but there was tests all along the way. And many times, once again, we get excited about the potential, but we underestimate the price that's being paid. I think sometimes we look around at people and we admire them. We say, wow, I want to be like that person. But if you want to be like that person, you ought to ask them, what's the pain you had to walk through to get where you are? What's the price that you paid to find yourself in that position? Because if I can understand the price, then I can fulfill the potential. Joseph, he has to go through some testing. And the first test that he goes through, it's rejection. Bottom line is you're gonna have to face rejection. Let me give you a little context about Joseph's story. It's there in Genesis 37. That's where it begins. But Joseph is the son of Jacob. And quickly what we find is that Joseph is the favorite. He's the most loved son of Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. Joseph is the 11th son. His younger brother, his name is Benjamin. Now there's one reason why he's the favorite. It's because that he is the youngest. Have you noticed that the youngest always like get the, they always, yeah, look at that's an older sibling right there. That's a firstborn going, I can't, I'm sick of it, you know? My youngest brother, Taylor, we're like 6 years apart. And I don't know, my older brother and I, we had two options in life, the wooden spoon or the belt. But with Taylor, like we got knocked out, Taylor got timeout. Like, how's that work? I remember one time I said, Dad, I said, I don't understand. Why do you take it so easy on Taylor? He said, Rich, I don't take it easy on your brother. I'm just tired. The older parents get, the more tired they get. He's the youngest, and we see that in the text, that he's favored because he's one of the younger brothers. But there's more to the story. In fact, in order to know more of the story, you got to understand who Jacob was. Jacob's the father of Joseph, but Jacob is the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau, they were twins, but Esau came out first. He was the older brother. The Bible says that Jacob came out of the womb clutching, clinging onto Esau's heel. Now, in that time period, the oldest brother, they would get the blessing. Now, the blessing wasn't just the inheritance. It wasn't just a transfer of financial wealth. It was deeper. It was a supernatural, spiritual blessing. Some of you, you know your Bible and you know the story that Esau, he kind of gets deceived by Jacob and he trades his birthright for some soup. That's another message we'll preach another time. Jacob gets the blessing, but as he gets the blessing, Esau gets so angry that he wants to kill him. So Jacob has to flee the land and he goes to his uncle Laban's house. When he gets to Laban's house, he sees that Laban has a daughter and her name is Rachel. And Jacob says, oh, I like Rachel. And so he made a deal with the father-in-law. The father-in-law said, if you work for me for 7 years, I'll let you marry Rachel. Some of you girls out there, you need to realize that some of these guys, they need to work a little harder. Next time some guy takes you to Chili's on the first week of the date and he wants you to, you ought to say, yeah, I read my Bible. You ought to work a little harder than that. Look, women are getting excited, yeah. Yeah. What's crazy story, this is why you should read the Bible, because there's such crazy stories in them. He works 7 years, and it's wedding day, and Laban brings his daughter, and all of a sudden they get married. But when Jacob wakes up in the morning, and he realizes the woman that he went to bed with, it wasn't Rachel, but instead it was her sister named Leah. He goes, oh my God, how did I marry Leah? Some of you are like, how did he go to bed with somebody he didn't know? Shut up, you've done that before. Judging Bible characters, acting like you've never been there before. Dang, don't come to the 1 p.m. Come to the 9:15. I'm really nice at 9:15. Shots fired in 2018. Wakes up, is like, yo, I wanted Rachel, not Leah. Now, the Bible says that Rachel was very beautiful, but then the Bible says about Leah that Leah, well, she was the weak-eyed one. That's King James for ugly. I didn't say it. The Bible said it, okay? And so Laban, he deceived Jacob. Why? Because if you sow deceit, you're gonna reap the same thing. He lived his whole life deceiving people. It's no shock that he himself got deceived, because what you put in the ground, you always reap back. I don't know. I just feel like preaching at the 1 p.m. a little bit. I know it's hot, but we're here, you know? He gets deceived, so Laban's like, here's the deal. If you work 7 more years, I'll give you the one that you wanted, Rachel. Wow. He's like, oh, all right, shoot, I'm going to work 7 more. He works 7 more years, and he gets to marry Rachel. Now, as you study the scriptures, what you'll find out is that Leah, she starts having kids left and right, boy after boy after boy. But when Rachel gets married to Jacob, she cannot conceive. She can't have children. And this becomes a point of pain for Jacob and for Rachel, because Rachel was the one that he always really loved. And it wasn't until later on in their years that she finally gave birth to two boys, Joseph first, and then Benjamin, which would be Jacob's 12th son. So it wasn't just the fact that Joseph was the 11th born that he had favor. It was also the fact that he was born of Rachel. And so his father loved him so much. And we see this because his father puts a coat of many colors on him. Back then, finding color was not an easy thing. And so Joseph had this awesome coat of many colors, and he was walking around and he was the man. And the Bible says that all of his brothers, they hated him because of it. What you're going to see unfold here is that Joseph is going to have to walk through the rejection of people around him. The Bible says that God gives Joseph a dream at the age of 17. Maybe you think to yourself that you're too young to be used by God. You would be wrong. Maybe you think to yourself you're too old to be used by God. You would be wrong. At 17 years of age, God speaks to Joseph. And here's the dream. The Bible says that Joseph goes to sleep, and in the dream, him and his brothers are out in the field working. And all of the sheaves of grain that his brothers had bound up, they all started bowing down to him. Now watch this kid. This kid has the audacity to go and tell his brothers this dream. Hey guys, I had a dream last night. You were all bowing down to me. Now, I don't know. I can't fully prove it in the text, but Joseph, I think, was a bit annoying. I think he was a bit ambitious. I think he spoke a little bit too quick. The one scripture the Bible says right there in verse 2, it says that he brought a bad report about his brothers, meaning he was telling on his brothers. He was tattletaling about his brothers. Reminds me of me. When I was young, man, I was quick with my tongue. I remember one time I was in grade school, and I had this teacher, elementary school, and this teacher came by and looked at me and said, Rich, you do understand I wasn't working well. I was, you know, mischievous, distracted. He said, Rich, you do understand that when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he would walk to school. I said, sir, you do understand that when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he was the president. My gift was just running in the wrong direction. I was quick with my tongue. I would say things. I was a bit annoying. I don't think I meant any harm by it, but I would get going in the wrong direction. You see, I see it in Joseph, because Joseph doesn't just tell his brothers about one dream. He annoys them, makes them mad, and he comes back and says, I had another dream. This one's really crazy. The sun, the moon, the 11 stars, that's you guys all bowing down to me. Aren't you pumped? Let me tell you, one of the greatest mistakes you will make in 2018, if you're not careful, is that you will share the right dream with the wrong people. Come on, somebody, if we're gonna clap, let's just clap. Let's just shift the atmosphere. Some of you are taking too much time trying to convince people to love you that do not matter. Some of you are taking way too much time tolerating and trying to get people engaged that don't matter, that don't care, that are never ever going to help you get into your destiny. I felt like saying to you this week, if somebody can walk away from your life, let them walk away. You shouldn't have to convince anybody to love you. If they can walk, let them go. If they leave you, it means they're not attached to your future. We spend so much time wasting energy because we're so upset about being rejected by people. Joseph didn't need to tell his brothers about this dream. Either it was from God or he heard wrong. Either way, it was premature to share. And I watch Christian after Christian get excited because they go into their prayer closet and God starts to give them a dream. And before it's ready, they step out of that prayer closet and they look at people and people try to set them in their place. And then they feel rejected and they quit. You got to see this today. Because the truth of the matter is that how many of you know that, like, they wouldn't have cared if there wasn't favor on Joseph's life? Like, how many of you know, like the reason why they were getting upset, the reason why they were getting irritated was because they were jealous of what was on his life. What if I told you that some of the rejection you have been facing in your life, it's because people are jealous of what's on your life? What if I told you that the rejection is simply an indication that you got favor on your life? God is getting ready to do something in your life. You just got to understand there's more to know. Come on, somebody. There's more to know. There is more to know. Yet this stuff preaches easy, but it's difficult to live out. Because all of us can go back to moments in our life. Some of you can go right back to your childhood. You're a 40-year-old man, but you still have a moment in your childhood where somebody said something Somebody did something, an event, a circumstance took place, and you dealt with rejection, and it has marked you. I remember when I was young, maybe like 12 or 13, I had this encounter with a family member of mine where I was excited, and I was saying, one day I want to be a preacher. And I'll never forget my family member, like, they didn't celebrate it. Instead, they kind of were condescending, and they were being sarcastic, and they probably didn't mean anything by it, but they just said, man, you can't preach. Come on, if you can preach, preach right now. I was like, I haven't prepared yet. See, you got to make sure that when rejection hits you, you don't let it get in you. Because there's no escaping rejection. There's no escaping hearing the word no. If you're going to actually live your life to do something bigger than yourself, you should get used to hearing no, but you shouldn't let no stop you. It could hit you, but don't let it get in you. I remember an old parable that a preacher used to share. It's about two brothers who grew up in a home, and their dad was an alcoholic and he was abusive. And the two brothers, they both grew up, and one brother, he grew up to be an alcoholic and an abuser himself, while the other brother, he abstained from alcohol and became a very moral man, a very good man, and accomplished many great things. They were both asked the same question, how did you end up the way that you are? And they both gave the same answer. Given who my dad was, how could I not? Two guys in the same home with the same experience, yet one guy decided, I'm not going to let this thing get in me, while another man let it absolutely define him. I don't know what's going to happen to you in life, and you can't dictate that, and you can't control that. All you get to control is how you respond to what happens to you in life. You see, fighting back on the inside is where battling back on the outside begins. Some of you today, you need to understand there is more to know. I want to encourage you in this place. I don't care what man has said to you. I don't care what some person has told you. Just because somebody else has said that you are disqualified doesn't hold any weight. I'm telling you today, you don't need man's approval. You've already got God's approval. And no one and no man can push back what God has decided to push forward. So they hurt you, you still got a dream. They rejected you, you still got a dream. They didn't believe in you, you still got a dream. They overlooked, you still got a dream. Don't you dare give up that dream simply because you face some rejection. God is preparing you for something bigger. You got a God dream. Come on, somebody. If you believe it, give him some praise in this house. There's more to know. There's a whole lot more to know. You got to know about no. See, until you understand no, you can't appreciate yes. I think we live in a whole world today, especially Christians, that think that once they start following Jesus, it just means continual yeses. But the truth is that God, he will speak something to you, and then in order for it to develop, it has to face stages of rejection. I remember the first time Don Cherie broke up with me. I say that because there was many times that she broke up with me. But I decided, I'm going to get her back. And praise God, today we've been married for 11 years. We're expecting our first son. And it's so much better when she said yes, because I had faced the no. I had faced the no. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal. The article was written back in November. And it was beautiful to me. The article was titled, The Secrets of Resilience. And I just wanted to read a portion too, because I found this to be compelling information, and I think it can encourage you in this year. It said this, it said, in 1962, the psychologist Victor Gortzel and his wife Mildred published a book called Cradles of Eminence, a provocative study of the childhoods of over 400 famous 20th century men and women. They selected individuals who had at least two biographies written about them and who had made a positive contribution to society. Their subjects ranged from Louis Armstrong, Frida Kahlo, and Marie Curie to Eleanor Roosevelt, Henry Ford, and John D. Rockefeller. Now, the Gortzels found that less than 15% of their famous men and women had been raised in supportive, untroubled homes, with another 10% in a mixed setting. Of the 400, a full 75%, some 300 individuals, had grown up in a family burdened by severe problems, poverty, abuse, absent parents, alcoholism, serious illness, or some other misfortune. The normal man, the Gortzels wrote, is not a likely candidate for the Hall of Fame. I'm not advocating child abuse. What I am suggesting is the thing that maybe you thought disqualified you might be the very thing that's gonna qualify you into stepping into your God dream. I'm telling you what, just because you're going through something, just because you've been rejected, I'm telling you it's more than a precursor. It's an indicator that God is getting ready to do something in your life. Come on, 1 p.m. I don't know if I'm resilient until I've been rejected. You don't know what's in you until something hits you. You don't know how strong you are until you go through some pain, till you go through some challenges. And there is more to know. And we are not a people that when we hear no, we go, God's out of it, God left us. That is not the case. But it might just be that that no is developing you. That rejection is shaping you. That rejection is developing you because rejection creates resilience. I'm getting stronger when I go deeper. I'm getting stronger when I don't run away from the no, but I stand back up. Joseph, here he is. He's like, I got a dream. Tells the wrong people the right thing. Let me tell you. The right dream with the wrong people is irrelevant. He tells them this, and they get so angry that one day he comes out, his dad sends him out into the field, and they see him and say, here comes that dreamer. It's all in Genesis 37. Here comes that dreamer. They go, let's kill him. His oldest brother Reuben's like, no, we can't kill him. Let's throw him in a pit. You think your family is dysfunctional? Read the Bible. Brother's wanting to kill. Nope, we're gonna do the godly thing. Let's throw him in the pit. Joseph gets thrown in this dried up pit, this dried up well. And there, the brothers, they make a plan. They see a caravan coming by. They say, let's sell Joseph to the caravan. Let's take his coat of many colors. Let's dip it in blood. Let's go back to our father, Jacob. And just like Jacob, who had been deceiving people, let's deceive him. Let's tell him that his favorite son was eaten by a wild beast. They bring the coat back to Jacob. He weeps, he mourns, his heart is broken. His favorite son, the son of Rachel, the son he had in his old age, has been destroyed. If the Bible says that Joseph, he's sold into slavery, which how on earth can anything good come from a pit in slavery? But Romans 8 says that we serve a God who works all things together for the good of those who love them. He's a God who'll take up the jacked up, broken. He'll take your abuse. He'll take your rejection. And if you'll submit it over to him, he's going to tell a story with it. Bible says he gets to Egypt and he rises second in command in Potiphar's home. Next week, I'm going to preach more about it. I don't want to give you all the spoiler alerts, but somehow something bad happens there. He gets sent to prison. In prison, he's down in prison for a long time, but before you know it, he gets pulled up into Pharaoh's palace, and he's in Pharaoh's palace, and Pharaoh actually gives him his power and says, I want to make you second in command of all of Egypt. See, I just can't help but wonder, would Joseph ever stepped into ruling in Egypt if he hadn't first been thrown into a pit? See, how many know that the pit was preparing him for the prison? And how many of you know that the prison, well, he was learning more about being a king living in a prison than he ever did in a palace? I just can't help but look at the story and think to myself, man, if he hadn't stayed the course, if he hadn't stuck with it, if he hadn't experienced life in the pit, he would have never made it through life in the prison. And if he hadn't endured the prison, he couldn't have made it to the palace. See, what if God is preparing you? And what if God is shaping you? And what if there's more to know?
What if I told you today that thing that feels like rejection oftentimes can actually be God's direction? Yeah.
This building you're standing in, 6 services, close to 3,500 people on the Sundays now, skeleton staff, a whole bunch of servant leaders that believe in what we're doing. Before we found this space, we did a whole year of hearing no, 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 no. We got upset, we got frustrated, but it was actually God leading us. He led us right to this space. And now because of it, thousands have encountered Jesus. Why? Because there's more to know. This past summer, we were gearing up to move into the iTech Auditorium, 1,500 seats. We really believed it's what God had spoken to us. But as we got ready to announce it to our church, we got a big, huge no. And for a second, we thought, man, I thought we heard God say that thing. I thought God wanted us to do that thing. Yet just because we got a no doesn't mean that God didn't say it. See, the rejection was creating direction, because what happened is it forced us to move into 6 services. And in the 6 services, it forced us to raise up new leaders. It forced us to be absolutely good stewards of our finances. Why? Because we didn't know the cost. We didn't know the expense. We didn't know the price of actually getting all the potential out of us of what it was going to take for iTech. But because we took a season right here of 6 services, come February 11th, we're moving to 2 locations and we're going to see more people join the family. Because the rejection was actually direction. Maybe you're in a pit today, but before you curse the pit, maybe consider thanking God for the pit. Because maybe, just maybe, your pit is your ticket to the palace. How you handle the pit will determine if you ever walk into the palace. There's more to know. I want to be a man that when I'm in the pit, I want to be a man when rejection's hitting me, I don't let it get in me, but I decide before the miracle happens, before I can be on the other side of the breakthrough, that I just decide I'm going to thank God in the midst of it. I'm just going to give glory, come hell or high water, mountaintops, valleys, I'm going to praise God. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, it's good to thank God for unanswered prayers. You ever date someone for a long time and you really thought that was the right person? Then somehow they broke your heart, but then you saw them 2 years later, you're like, oh my God, thank you, Lord, for not answering that prayer. You ever thought you had your dream job? And then one day, rejection hit you, an event happened where you were let go, and you thought, God, I'm in a pit. What happened? And God whispered, there's more to know. Because unless you lost that job, you could never step into that real dream job. See, rejection many times is God's direction. Joseph, we're going to find over the next 5 weeks that, well, he's got many more tests to go through to see the God dream fulfilled. But we can see right here in Genesis 37 that he doesn't give up even when he faces the rejection of his brothers, even when he faces the rejection of the people that he loves so dearly. This past week, my little brother Taylor and his wife Kristen, some of you guys know Taylor and Kristen, they pastor Trinity Harlem. They pastor a church right in the heart of Harlem. It's amazing. Young couple. Taylor is a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary. I am not a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary. But I try my best at any moment I'm given to make sure that you know my brother did graduate from Princeton Theological Seminary. He's an incredible man of God. I'm proud of them. They started their church about 1.5 years ago, and see about 300 people every week show up. Community is shaping in Harlem, and I believe the best is really in front of them. They've really started to hit a season of momentum. And we had this crazy storm come through the East Coast, this bomb cyclone. Sounds like a nuclear attack. And on Wednesday night, Taylor went to bed, and when they woke up, the building that they've been meeting in that was given to them, it's a God story. All the pipes burst and flooded every floor and has destroyed the buildings. It's destroyed. And Taylor woke up on a Thursday to feel this event of rejection. Go, wait a minute, God, didn't you tell us to plant this church? Didn't you tell us to move to Harlem? Didn't you tell us to risk it all?
to surrender at all? Didn't you tell us to come here? Why on earth are you letting this happen now? This is your church. This is your building. Why on earth? You control the weather. Why did this happen?
For about 2 days, they came together. They were praying as a church and trying to figure out what they're going to do. It's funny because God has a funny way of working things out. I talked to Taylor this morning around 7 a.m. I kind of called him to kind of be a big brother and kind of pastor him, you know. You ever try to like, you know, kind of pastor someone and they go, then they pastor you? You're like, okay. And so I was assuming that he maybe was waking up today a little bit down. I got him on the phone. I said, bro, how you doing, man? What's going on? He's like, man, whew, I'm excited. I say, excuse me? He said, Rich, man, I'm excited. On paper, this looks bad. On paper, this doesn't look good. Our building that we love, completely destroyed. But Rich, I really feel like God is in this thing. I really feel like God's going to use this thing to do something bigger. You know, Rich, this whole past year, we have been wanting to renovate the building. You know, Rich, that we needed millions of dollars and that building needed serious renovation. And Rich, would you believe, Rich, this is crazy. This past week, I was in our Connect group. They call them Connect groups. We call them VU crews. If I was in Harlem, we'd call them Harlem huddles. I like that, you know. I was in my Connect group. What's a Connect group? You're aligning the God dream with the right people. Some of you, you're looking for some big super, you want angels to come out of the sky? Go to a crew. Connect your God dream with the right people and watch what starts to happen. He said, this week I was in Connect group on Monday. I don't know, Rich, it was just strange, but I just told the guys in the Connect group, I just said, I feel like the Lord wants us to step out and become a portable church, but I don't know how we're going to do that. We got this building, but I do know, guys, that one day we're going to renovate this building, and when we renovate this building, we're going to have to step out and learn how to be portable. So, Rich, I was saying that on Monday, and I wasn't really praying it, Rich. I just felt it, kind of. But I guess God wanted to expedite the process. Because, Rich, today, for the first time, although we don't have a building, we believe God will restore it. We believe that the funds will come in. We believe that we'll renovate. But Rich, for the first time today, we're gathering in a middle school in Harlem with 400 seats at 11 a.m. And I don't know, Rich, I just feel like God is about to do something in our church. See, that's the attitude you gotta have. There's more to know. When the building breaks, do you say, I guess God wants us to quit? Or when the building breaks, do you say, you know what? This is just an opportunity for us to grow. This is an opportunity for us to learn something we didn't know. This is an opportunity for us to get stronger. There's more to know. There's more to know. And just because you gotta know doesn't mean that the God dream has stopped. Oh, friend, I feel it in my spirit today that in 2018, your key to your success is to lean into your struggle. You have no idea, but hardships, they're helping you. Pain is preparing you. There's something bigger in front of you. It's called a God dream. Come on, if you believe it, why don't you stand to your feet? Come on, if you believe it, why don't you go ahead right now? Let's give our God some praise in this place. Come on, church.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.